the herald of the Lord approaches, of whom the Lord Jesus said, "No man born of woman has been greater than John the Baptist." It is he, John, who says, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. All flesh shall see the salvation of God." Yet Jesus said of John the Baptist, "The least in the kingdom of heaven shall be greater than he." Now, John had a miraculous birth. His mother Elizabeth was a member of Mary's family. His father Zechariah was a priest of the temple in Jerusalem. They were both advanced in years, and they were childless when one day, after Zechariah had been chosen to offer the sacrifice of incense to God in the inner sanctuary before the Holy of Holies, the archangel Gabriel appeared to him with an extraordinary and astonishing announcement. Zechariah and Elizabeth, his wife, were to have a son to be named John, who would bring them joy and gladness and be great in the sight of the Lord. He would call people to repentance and turn many of the children of Israel back to the Lord their God in the spirit and power of the prophet Elijah. He would turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the disobedient to the understanding of the righteous. He was to prepare a people fit for the coming of the Lord. And he'd be filled with the Holy Spirit, even in his mother's womb. As we hear in the gospel today, John did exactly that. We see him as a young man around the age of 29, living in the desert northeast of Jerusalem, near the narrow strip of the Jordan River, where it was believed that Elijah the prophet was taken up to heaven in a chariot of fire at the end of his life. John lived as a hermit, fasting, praying, and preaching, his mind filled with the knowledge of the scriptures and his soul filled with a burning zeal to proclaim those scriptures and to live them thoroughly, calling out to others to do likewise, to change their hearts, to return to a life of prayer and holiness, to leave sin behind, and to live a life of charity and virtue. All this so that they might be able to see and recognize the Messiah clearly when he would come. For John, none of this was ever about himself. He was just a voice crying out in the desert, "Prepare the way of the Lord." He always pointed to Jesus, and he told others, including two of his followers, Andrew and John, who later become the first apostles of Jesus, to follow the Christ. As John said of Jesus in relation to himself, "He must increase, I must decrease." John would continue his mission, calling out the sin of King Herod, his adulterous and incestuous relationship in marriage to his brother's wife. Herodias, his wife, was incensed at this and couldn't stand John. Herod, on the other hand, liked to hear him. But as you all know, at a birthday party held in Herod's honor, his stepdaughter Salome danced. And in his excitement, he offered her anything in front of his guests for her performance. And at her mother's urging, she requested John the Baptist's head. Herod had him executed, and now the last of the prophets of the Old Testament was dead. The old covenant had come to its end. But another prophet was on the horizon, and a new covenant was just beginning. John baptized with water, a mere symbol, a sign of cleansing and purification. But John's baptism did not take away original sin and make those he baptized a new creation. He told the people that one mightier than himself, of whom the prophets and the patriarchs spoke, of whom the people of Israel would long, this one would come, who would baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire, the one that John himself called the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, that is, Christ Jesus. And this, brothers and sisters, is why the least in the kingdom of heaven, that is, the church, is called greater than John. For while John certainly had many graces and many favors, one of which was that he was purified from original sin in his mother's womb, and John had the privilege of announcing the Messiah and being in his company, John was never able to be part of Christ's body, the church here on earth. John wasn't able, as the apostles were, to baptize others in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, to free them from sin and to make them something new, that is, temples of the Holy Spirit. He was never able to celebrate or receive the Lord's body and blood in the Holy Eucharist, privileges that you and I have. While he announced the coming of Christ, Christ did not dwell in his soul as Christ comes to dwell in our own souls. He did not experience the transforming power of sanctifying grace as we do, nor was he able to transform humanity in sanctifying grace by the power of the sacraments in Jesus' name, as the church does. As Jesus said, "How many have longed to see and did not see it? How many have longed to hear what you hear and did not hear it?" Jesus says to us, of those who lived before his incarnation, the things that they long for, we get to experience. And yet here we are, beneficiaries of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ in 2,000 years of teaching and practice, of grace and holiness, of believers and saints, one body, one spirit in Christ by the Holy Spirit's power to bring Christ to the world and to bring the world to Christ, beginning right here at home, amongst our own families, friends, and communities. Brothers and sisters, you and I are witnesses of what Christ came to do. But the question must be asked, what sort of witnesses are we? What exactly is our Christian testimony to those around us? Are we truly committed? Do we know? Do we believe? Do we practice our Catholic faith in its fullness? What are we saying to those around us? Are our lives such as to convince those who do not believe that Jesus is truly the Son of God? Are we convinced of that ourselves, that Jesus is the Christ, and that we believe in his message? Are we living as though we're truly seeking God, always looking to seek God's will and his eternal life? Do we seek God's mercy through repentance and produce the good works of kindness and forgiveness, generosity, reconciliation, and peace? You and I, like John, are called to be witnesses and heralds. All of us through confirmation have been given the sevenfold gifts of the Holy Spirit. We've been given wisdom and understanding. We've been given counsel and strength. We've been given knowledge and reverence and holy fear that leads to love. Why? To bear witness to Christ and show others the way to him. The responsibility is great, we know that. But yet when that responsibility is fulfilled, it brings us the joy of bringing Jesus, as John the Baptist did, to so many who are so far away from him or are at least indifferent to him. And it's none of our doing. Again, like John, we point to Jesus Christ, and it's all through God's grace, not our own strength, to move souls toward Jesus and to prepare the way of the Lord.